Okay, we're up to Perek Samach Aleph, Pasuk Dalid. Okay, Samach Aleph Dalid. Uvanu Chorvois Oilam V'Shemus Rishonim Yikameimu. We're describing what's going to happen to him with Mashiach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Klal Yisrael, Banu means they, Klal Yisrael, Hashem will give Klal Yisrael incredible bracha. Yishaya, just to recap, Yishaya in Perek Samach Aleph begins to describe how the Spirit of Hashem came upon him, and he was anointed, he was designated to give over good news. And what's the good news? The good news is Hashem is going to declare a year of Ratzon, a day of vengeance. Hashem is going to exchange the ash for Pe'er. Shemen Sason is going to take the place of mourning. A Ma'ate Sehila will exchange the Ruach Keha. And Uvanu Chorvo Yisrael, and through Klal Yisrael, the ruins of the world will be rebuilt. Shemimois Hushainim Yikoimemu. This that has been the desolation, the ruins, the destruction. Shemimois means of Shemama. Different things that have been destroyed, Rishainim, from the earlier times. Look at the Mitsudos. Shemimois Rishainim Ha'arim Ha'shemimois. Miyamim Rishainim. The cities that are desolate from the earlier times, Yikoimu will rise up. Yikoimemu will once again be restored. V'chidshu arei chayrev, and the cities that have been destroyed will be renewed. Shemimai star v'dar, the ruins will now be renewed for forever. From the previous, let's see over here the mitzudas v'chidshu. Yivnu mechadash she'arim. So Vidar Vidar means going back. These ruins that have been, these buildings, or these cities, or these things that have been from previous generations that have been destroyed will now once again be renewed. Pasuk Hey. The Amdu Zodim Virahu Tzainchem. And now at this time of Mashiach, this is a very famous Pasuk, the time of Mashiach, the Jewish people will not have to go to work. They will be free to devote themselves to the service of Hashem, who then will provide for them the world. The Amdu what?
It's the reason now.
It's the what?
What is the reason right now?
What is the reason? Not for everyone. Not for everyone. The Amdu Zodim Virahu Tzainchem, and others, Zarm, strangers will stand and will pasture Tzainchem, your sheep. You will not have to take your sheep out of the pasture, it will be done by others. Uvnei Nechor, and foreigners. Ikor Rechem will be your farmers. Ikor Rechem means literally those that plow. Manhigi Hamachadesha, those that guide the plow, which basically, we translate it modernly, it means a farmer.
Right.
A farmer, but here, it's some reason, the Mitsudos and Rashi don't focus on a farmer, because a farmer is a much more broad term that describes the entire process of farming. Over here, Rashi and the Mitsudos translate, they focus on the plowing.
Emphasizing the physical labor aspect.
Yeah. No, but a farmer today, you ask, I don't know, I'm looking at the dictionary exactly, but a farmer is the entire process.
Okay.
It's the plowing, the fertilization, the planting, the harvesting, everything from beginning to end. And that's how we teach the word Ikarechem, but that's not what it says here in Rashi and the Mitsudos. It says he focuses specifically on the plowing of the field, which is just one little step. One step in the process. But in any event, what?
Might be the hardest.
Could be, yeah, could be the hardest part. It could be in Hanami. Or it's the most frustrating part, because at least when you harvest and the crop comes in, you have the profits. Here you don't know what's going to be. You're sweating away to plow, and who knows what's going to be. So v'nechar ikarechem, and strangers will be your farmers. V'chorimechem, and people that take care of your vineyards, lashon of kerem, orchards, an entirely different industry. Pasuk vav, v'atem kohani Hashem tikor, you will be called the priests of Hashem. Now this goes back to time of Matan Torah. V'atem tihiyun li mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. You will be a mamleches, a kingdom of kohanim. Kohanim literally means teacher. What does it mean a kohen? A kohen means a priest. So we tie a kohen to mean a person that does avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. They do the service. So, but in the broader context, kohanim means people that are mashpiim, teachers. They're teachers of mamlech as a klal Yisrael, as an orl anin. They are the guides for the nations of the world. And once again, when Mashiach comes, will be restored to that pasuk v'atem kohani Hashem yitikorei. You'll be called the kohani Hashem. Mishar se elokeinu, those that minister our God. Ye'amar lechem. That's what they will be said to them. You are the mishar se elokeinu. Ye'amar lechem. It will be said by klal Yisrael. Mishar se Hashem chel goyim teichelu. You will eat the wealth of the nations. Uvichvaydam tis yamoru. And now we come to an entirely new, not a new theme, but let's. What does it mean tis yamoru? So Rashi has two interpretations. First interpretation means, it means, well, Rashi has one interpretation. I take that back. Let's look at the Mitsudos. Mitsudos has two interpretations. Rashi only quotes the second. Tis yamoru means you will be elevated. Let's look at the Mitsudos. Pasuk Vav. You will be exalted. Look at the Mitsudos Tzion. Does not say the word exchanged. It says, he said, he used the word Tisyamaru, Lashon of Reish Mem, but the letters are backwards, of Ram. Ram is to be exalted. The letters are backwards. Inyan gedula v'roimimus kmo es Hashem he'emarta. You have elevated Hashem, so you have a makor. Indeed, you have exactly this form of the word, where the mem comes before the resh he'emarta, and he'emarta means you have elevated, you have exalted, and that's here what it means according to the Mitsudos, that you will become uvichvoidem tis yamaru, and in the honor that the goyim once had, it will, that their honor that was once given to them will now be given to you, and you will be exalted. That's the first interpretation. But if you look carefully in the Mitzvot, you look at Rashi, he has an entirely different interpretation. Is v'mhomer yomer behema b'behema v'hayohu u'smurasu yakodesh.
Tamura,
right? Tamura. V'mhomer yomer, to exchange. V'mhomer yomer behema b'behema v'hayohu u'smurasu yakodesh. The parasha of Tamura, if a person exchanges, we learned Tamura Daf Yomi. That was how we started. We were learning Tamura when we started Daf Yomi, and it means exchange. That you will attempt to exchange one animal for another animal. So here it means, and according to that interpretation, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take all of the honor, the greatness that has been given to the government, it's going to be given to the Jews, and the Jews are going to take their place. Tis Yamaru. Okay, so that is, yeah.
Also, connecting it to the previous pasuk.
Yeah.
The Kohanim
came.
In Klal Yisrael, they don't work the land because they don't.
They don't have land, they don't own land. Right.
Right.
They don't, right.
So they don't work.
Aha, so now the entire Klal Yisrael is going to be Kohanim. Aha, they will be Kohanim. Okay, very good. Okay, it's very good. The but it's also, but you have to also keep in mind that Levim and Mashiach, Kohanim will get land. The Levim and the Kohanim, in the end of Sefer Yecheskel, the whole Eretz Yisrael is redivided. The way it's divided today, when they came into Eretz Yisrael by Begorol, is going to change. And there's going to be a new division.
Right.
And around the base, Hamish
right.
is going to be there, which is going to be given to the Kohanim. So they will, Liyasalovo, and Chanami, of course, that's what's so here in this pasuk. Who's going to work the land? Zorim, Vrotzoinchem, Vrenecho, Ikorechem, Vichoy, Rimechem. Three things: sheep, farmland, and orchards. So we'll be taken care of, our needs will be taken care of by others. Zorim and Bnei Nechor will do these things, and everyone will be called Kohani Hashem Tikareu Meshor Silokeinu Yom Elohem Chel Goyim Teochelu Chodem Tisyamor, and you will be exalted in the honor that was once given to the Goyim will now be given to you. So, or it can mean that there will be an exchange, that throughout the history of the world, who is Choshev, the Umos Olam, they are the ones that are exalted. Now, exactly, an exchange of roles, and that's really the theme of the previous psukim, because to go back to Pasuk Gimel, Hashem will exchange Pe'er for Efer. Instead of Efer, there will now be Pe'er. Instead of Evil, there will be Shemen Soson. Instead of Ruach Kea, there will be a Mate Sihila. So if you go back to Pasuk Gimel, you see Pasuk Gimel is going to be an exchange. There's going to be a reversal of the roles. And that fits very well what it says here, that we go to the bigger picture. Now the honor that was given to the nations of the world will be given to the Jewish people. There's going to be an exchange, Tisya Moru, an exchange. And the truth is, if you now go to the next Pesukim, it's clear as day. We're describing over here the exchange of what was, what will be. Pasuk Zayin. Tachas, in place of Boshtechem Mishne, in place of your shame, you're going to receive a double portion of honor. So it's not only going to be, Hashem is going to repay us doubly for our suffering. Uchlima, and you have to take the word Uchlima, and you must connect it to the word Tachas, and that in place of Chlima, Chlima is another word for shame, it parallels the word Boishes, Yoronu Chelkom, you will take delight, you will rejoice in your new portion, the new portion of honor and greatness that Hashem will bring upon you. Lochein, therefore, Be'artzam Mishne Yirashu, you will inherit a double portion in reward for suffering, or in place of suffering throughout history. Hashem will now give you a double portion of good. Simchas Olam, an everlasting joy, Tielchem, will be to the Jewish people. Let's see Pasuk Zayin Numitzudos. Pasuk Zayin Tachas B'mkoyim HaBoishes Shehoyelchem Yelchem Mishne Pishchem Yakavod. In place of the embarrassment which you suffered throughout the entire existence, you will now have a double portion of honor. Uchlima V'tachas Achlim, in place of the shame Shehoyelchem B'golus Yoroinu, you will rejoice. You will rejoice. Perek Samach Alef Pasuk Vav Pasuk Zayin. Uchlima, v'tachas achlima, shoyelchem begalus yaronu, in place of the shame that you had in galus yaronu v'yismuchu b'chelkam atayv, you will rejoice in the good portion which I will give you in the future. Okay, then it goes on to say lechein b'avur achlima shoyelchem minakom lozeh years should be aritzim yushuk fulim ruba. Instead of the shame that you suffer from the goyim in this world, you will now inherit a double portion in Eretz Yisrael, and you will have simchas olam. You will never go into exile. Okay, that's that. Now there's one medrash that I wanted to point out. Okay, what was the medrash? Okay, this is not really a medrash. Gemara Brachos, famous Gemara. We're gonna have very soon the Daf Yomi. The Amdu Zarim Virot Soinchem. Going back to Pasek Hey. Bismanes Shayisrael Oisim Ritzon Shel Mokay Malachdom Nases Al Yidei Achayim. When Klai Yisrael does the Ratzon of Kadosh Baruch Hu, their work is done on their behalf. Shneemar the pasuk here at the end of Yeshaya. V'yamdu Zodim V'rotzonchem. Uvizman She'ein Yisrael Oisim Ritzon Shel Mokay. So here is the flip side. The flip side is Malachdom Nases Al Yidei Atzman. So there are different steps. First, no one will do the work for them. They will have to do their own work. Shenemar, the Osaft and Kriyashma, the Osafta de Gonech, you yourself will have to gather in your grain. But it gets worse. Vloyoid, if you don't take the message, you don't learn to take the Musar, and you continue to sin, then what's going to happen? Vloyoid Elosh Shemaleches Acherim Nases Al Yadan. Not only will they have to do their own work, they will be slaves, they will have to do the work of others. How do we know that? Shenemar, that's the part of the Teichon Parshas Kisavo, the Avadito Es Oyivecha, you will work for your enemies. So there are three stages. There are three steps. There is others doing your work. There is, at least, you're not doing others, but you have to do your own work. And then there's the curse of not only will you have to do your own work, you will have to work for others. Pasik Ches. Ki ani Hashem Oyev Mishpat. It is I Hashem who loves Mishpat. Sonei Gozel Ba'ol. I hate theft in a carbon oila. This is the makar of mitzvah haba ba'avera. Don't think that if you're bringing to me a sacrifice, a carbon oila, a burnt offering, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes delight in, and the money that the oila was paid for with money of gezel, Hashem says, this is detestable to me. Mitzvah haba ba'avera. I hate gozel ba'oila. Look in the mitzudos. Sonei gozel ba'oila afilu behavos oila ani soine, I hate it im ba migezel. Chmash osa v'havesem gozel pasik in Malachi, that Hashem hates mitzvah haba ba'avera. Okay, further. Minosati fu'ulosam be'emes Hashem's, I will give you the reward for your work be'emes, with sincerity. Now this fits very well if we go back to what we learned in the previous program, that be'emes means, it means continuously. Sometimes emes has multiple meanings in Tanakh. Most usually means truth. Emes, choysama shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. Sometimes emes means sincerity. In the Gemara, when the Gemara says be'emes amru, it always means this is the halacha. It's a term that's reserved in the Gemara to tell you that we pass can get like this, yeah?
Absolute, without any strings attached.
Okay. So that's how you want to translate over here with absoluteness. V'nasati pulos, I will give you the reward for your work, for doing Torah mitzvos, observing Hashem's Torah, the MS, absolutely, with any strings attached. It also can mean, as we had before, it means continuously, without any hefsek. When you work for an employer, and he pays you your check, sometimes he says, you know, I'm having a rough month, and I can't, I have to pay you a week late, a month late, a few days late. Bear with me. So that's not called emes, because there's a hefsek. You're not receiving your payment on time. So that's, and we had that before, that what was the translation with Ashaloy? The Mayim does not lie. Hashem will bless you, will put you upon a spring of water, whose waters do not lie. What does lying have to do with a brecha, with a pool of water, a spring? So we explained this a few days ago. It means that the waters continuously provide water. The spring continuously provides water. There is no hefsek. It's not seasonal. In the summer, it stops. Only in the spring does the spring flow with water. No. The spring that I will place you near, its water will flow without any hefsek. And that's here what it means as well. Nasati pu'ulasam emes. Yeah?
That means that since it's continuous, therefore it verifies Hashem's promise. It doesn't put the lie.
Okay, so it's related. The word, it's definitely related, but what is the actual focus when you translate the words? Right. If you translate the word over here continuously, then it fits very, very well in this context. As you do find this elsewhere, we mentioned the example from the Ksuba, that a husband promises to support his wife, bekushta. What does it mean, bekushta? What do you mean, the husband's going to support his wife with MS? That's not going to pay the bills. You have to pay. It means continuously. Continuously, the husband promises that he will not tell his wife one day, listen, I'm going off on business, and you have to fend for yourself continuously. Next, v'ris olam echot, and I'll go and I will forge for the Jewish people a bris, an everlasting bris. Pasik tes.
Did you just comment on Rashi's comment on the one pasik tes?
I do not accept this Rashi. I do not accept the Oilas Ha'akum Shekulam Gezel. What? We do accept. So what does it mean over here in this context? I don't know the answer. Why Hashem, we do accept Karbanos from Goyim.
And maybe only Shlomim?
No, we only, there is no such thing as Shlomim. No, by a goy, there's no such thing as a carbon shlamim. By a goy, only carbon oila. They don't have the goy does not understand the concept that part you can eat. By them, it's all or nothing. That's why goyim, their whole religion is a priest is not allowed to get married, is not allowed to enjoy this world. Has to become total precious. But lekach and mekabel here, it's very interesting. Rashi, I didn't notice that Rashi. What he's saying over here is that Hashem is not mekabel oilas ha'akum shekulam gezel. Okay, Akum literally means Oyved Kuchav Mazolos. So maybe it means people who worship idols. When we have a principle that Hashem does accept karbonos from non-Jews, it means non-Jews who do not worship idols. Non-Jews, I'm not sure. I don't know, because generally when we have Akum, Akum is just a general term, a generic term which refers to non-Jews. It does not necessarily refer to, I think generally when you say Akum, it can even technically refer to Goyim that do observe the Sheva Mitzvot, but they're not Oyved Kochav Mazalos. It's just a term. Akum is just a term for goyim, but maybe not. Maybe over here, that's exactly what Rashi here means to say, is that you have to be very careful how you refer to goyim. There are different categories of goyim. We learned a few days ago there are the goyim that are called the chayas hasodeh, and the goyim called the chayas of the yar. The chayas hayar are goyim that are wild, that are not shaykh to come close to Hashem, and there are goyim that are called the chayas hasodeh, which are the domesticated goyim, so to speak, which are willing to come close and observe the Zion mitzvahs b'nei noyach and learn from Klal Yisrael. So maybe what you're saying over here is, when it says akum, it's to be taken literally. Oyved akum stands for oyved koychavim umazolos, a goy that has stooped so low to worship the stars and the mazolos. Him you have to assume every penny that he has in his possession is gezel, and his korbanos are not accepted. But a non-Jew, that it's not oyved koychav mazalos, his money we could assume is honest money, and we can accept korbanos from him.
Can you read the Rashi v'nasati pulasam?
Vinasati pulasam. The next Rashi, Shel Yisrael, I will give the pu'ula. Pu'ula means the payment for service. Pula means you do work, your work, shall Yisrael, shadehe be'emes. I will grant that their work will be repaid with sincerity. Like, as we different translations, no strings attached. Absolute payment. O, v'nosate pu'ulasam shepalu sochar shesavlu gidufei ho'akam al kvoidi be'emes. I will pay them for the suffering of the insults of the goyim. So according to the second interpretation of Rashi, what it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it goes back to the theme of the previous pasuk, that I will reward them or compensate them now for the suffering that they suffered at the hands of the goyim. The non-Jews tormented, harassed, tortured, terrorized the Jewish people throughout history. Now it's payday. Now I will compensate them, I will reward them and pay them for their suffering at the time of Mashiach. According to Rashi's first interpretation, it would seem to mean simply Hashem will repay the Jewish people for observing the Torah and the mitzvahs. We work. Hashem has given us His Torah. We serve Hashem by observing Torah u'mitzvos, and the Torah says, "If you will Kriya Shema, if you will serve Me, I will pay you. I will give you reward in this world." But in Galus, we don't see the reward. In Galus, there's hest upon him. But Mashiach will come. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the reward. Yeah.
I just wouldn't put so much weight on the term akum.
Right. That's what I said. It's a generic term.
It's not only generic; it's euphemistic so many times.
Right. That's what I said. Right, but it's a very difficult question. But we do have all over Chazal that Hashem does accept korbanos from non-Jews.
Right.
So how then can you explain this Rashi, and how Rashi learns that Hashem is soinei gozel ba'olah, and Rashi categorically says einu mekabel ba'olah so'akum shekulon gezel? Really? Is that really so?
I don't know what.
So if you were to in this context only translate the words akum to mean literally oyved koychavim umazalos, then perhaps we have an interpretation. But it's not to refer to the tzaddikei umay soilam.
And in the second use of the word akum, I wouldn't say that.
Excuse me. In the second use,
he says akum in that first explanation, and then again in the second explanation. And
which second explanation?
The Nasati Pulosan we just read. Gidufei ha'akum. That doesn't necessarily.
Oh, Gidufei ha'akum. So that means the goyim in general.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, okay. All right, yeah, I don't know the answer. Yeah.
In this case, you say Ayot Ayahas, the non Jews, because it is not respect to Hashem that created them. It is better to say Pere Adam.
Para Adam is a term that's used only by Yishmaelim. Para Adam is only used. Okay, there are different types of goyim. It's a big world. There are almost 5 billion people out there. It's a big world. There are a lot of different types of goyim. Just like there are a lot of different types of Jews, there are a lot of different types of goyim. Okay, let's go further. I want to finish up. Pasuk Tes. V'noyda b'goyim zar'am. Hashem says that the Jewish people will be known all over the world. It will be known their seed. The seed here refers to the seed of the Jewish people. Will be known among the goyim. And their seed, their descendants among the nations. Kol ro'yehem yad. Iraqi room, anyone, any non-Jew that sees a Jew anywhere in the world will right away recognize this is a Jew. They will see his conduct, they will see his midos, they will see his avodas Hashem, and they'll right away be uplifted to recognize this is a Jew. Ki heim zera beirach Hashem, beautiful pasuk, and they will say about the Jewish people, "This is the seed of the blessed of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. This is a descendant of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and they are blessed people." Incredible bracha. Now we come to pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud. This is the haftarah.
What?
What
simonim does Yishaya?
What simonim do the goyim have to recognize
who?
What
is?
It's Nevuah. It's Yeshaya is saying this is Nevuah. He's predicting what's going to happen in Moshe HaMashiach. And he's saying that the Jewish people will be recognized throughout the world.
What Simon? I know my Simon might be a Jew.
Yeah. Yes, those are the same Simon. Those Yeshaya is Nevuah. Yeshaya is saying that he sees the future. At the time of Mashiach, the Goyim will appreciate, they will glorify, they will elevate, they will honor the Jewish people. And if a Jew is walking around somewhere in China and a Chinese citizen sees a Jew, they'll say, "You know who this is? This is a Jew. This is a person that's deserving of honor, and he'll be honored." How will they recognize that he's a Jew? Racial profiling. They'll be able to look. They just can look at him, and you can look at the Jew. Okay, let's Pasig Yud. Pasig Yud is the haftarah of a parashas.
Nitzavim.
Nitzavim Vayelech, when it goes together also? Nitzavim Vayelech? Nitzavim Vayelech. Now, by the way, this is a very interesting topic. We don't do this today. But in ancient times, or maybe there are places that do this, there was much more flexibility with regard to the Haftarah. Today the Haftarahs are pretty much set, etched in stone. You can't play games. You come to a shul, you take out the luach, and whatever it says in the luach, that's what you do, that's what you read the Haftarah. Okay, there's Ashkenaz and Sfarad, so sometimes just a matter of reading a few psukim. We had over here, in fact, we had a very big issue, not a big issue, but it's also etched in stone. Everyone, the custom is set. 2 weeks ago, Parashas, not 2 weeks ago, last week, Parashas Re'eh, the Haftarah. So what do you do? On the one hand, it's Shiva de Nechemta, so you're supposed to learn from Yeshaya. On the other hand, it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. So there's a dispute between Minik Ashkenaz and Minik Sfarad. Minik Ashkenaz is that if you read Shemayim Kisi, the Haftarah for Parshas for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, because in Shabbos Rosh Chodesh it makes mention of Nechama. There are psukim in that Haftarah that also mention, also bring out concepts of comfort, like a mother gives comfort to her son. There are psukim in Hashem Kisi. So what about the Haftarah, and what about Sfaradim? Sfaradim, no. The Sfaradim did not read the parasha of the Haftarah. The Iker is the Shiv de Nechemta, and they read the Haftarah for Parshas Re'eh, Perik Nun Vav. Then the question is, next week, Parshas Kiseitze, and Parshas Kiseitze, you lay the same Perik, the real Haftarah of Parshas Re'eh is the second half of Perik Nun, I think it's Perik Nun Dalid.
Yeah.
What? Nundalid? And the Haftarah for Parshas Kiseitze is the first half of Perek Nundalid. So the Ashkenazim, Minig Ashkenaz, next week, you have to remember this for next week, is to lay in a double Haftarah. You lay in the entire Perek Nundalid, which is the first half is the Haftarah for Parshas Kiseitze, and the second half, you mashlim the Haftarah for Parshas Re'eh. So, because you don't want to lose out on the Shiva Dinechemta. The Sfaradim don't have that issue, because the Sfaradim already leaned. Wait, let me just explain to you this whole thing, because in the Gei Halacha L'Maaseh, and talk about what we're learning, and I want to bring out a point about the Haftarah, the different flexibility in the words of the Haftarah.
It is written in stone.
In the stone Chumash, very good. Okay, here's Parshas. Parshas Ki Seitzei. Okay, I'll read you what it says here in the art scroll. Le Hanoi Hagim. Okay, this is the article. This is Mamasha Torah Misinai. The article was there at Har Sinai. It says here Le Hanoihagim Likrois Haftoras Hashamayim Kise Beparshas B'Shabbos Parshas Re'ei Shechal B'Rosh Chodesh. According to those that have the custom to read and Parshas Re'ei Hashamayim Kise Koyrim B'Shono Hahi, they read on that year B'Shabbos Parshas Kisei, say Gam Haftoras Roni Akora V'Gam Haftoras Anios Sora. So Roni Akora is the beginning of Perek Nun Dalet. That's after Parshas Kisei. And when you finish this haftar, which is very, very short, it's only 10 psukim, you then turn back to Parshas Re'ei and you read the real haftarah Aniyos Soyara, which starts with Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11 to the end of the Perek. That is Minhag Ashkenaz. Why does Ashkenaz switch to the parasha of Hashemayim Kisei? Well, number one, Hashemayim Kisei is the Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, but it is also, let me read you the pasuk of Hashemayim Kisei. It says here words of Nechama. Let me read you the words of Nechama. Here it's a perek. It's the very last perek. Let me find those very beautiful words. Here it is. Ki'ish. Here is the haftarah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, pasuk Perek Samach Vav, pasuk Yomu Ki Ish, Asher Imoy Tinachanenu, Kein Onoichi Anachemchem Uviyushalayim Tinuchamu. So it says here in the haftarah of Hashemayim Kisei, a pasuk of Nechama. So therefore, you really are going, you're two birds with one stone, you're getting two birds with one stone by reading the Haftarah of Hashemayim Kisei. It's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, which mentions Rosh Chodesh, and the end of the Haftarah is V'yotzu V'hoya Midi Chodesh B'chodesh B'di Shabbos V'Shabbat V'yavocho B'sor L'Shachos L'Fanai Omar Hashem. And you also do have here a Pasuk of Nechama. This is Minhag Ashkenaz. And the only point I want to make is that it used to be in ancient times there was much more flexibility in what you learn for the Haftarah. The Haftarah is, there are many reasons why you lay in the Haftarah. And in fact, that's why there are so many brachas. I can't go through all the details now. I want to finish up this parak. But when we conclude the Haftarah, you notice you make a whole bunch of brachas. All those brachas represent all the different reasons why you lay in the Haftarah. Sometimes you lay in the Haftarah because it relates to the parasha. The parasha. You find the theme in the parasha, and you lay in the Haftarah a theme from the Haftarah. Sometimes you lay in the Haftarah not because of the parasha, me'ein ha-me'oira, the day. Today is Pesach. Today is Sukkot. Today is Rosh Chodesh. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Sometimes that's an event. That is an event of what's happening at the time. Then you have an entirely different series of haftaras, which are Shiva Dinechemta and Gimel Di Paranusa, which are an entirely different theme. It's not necessarily Main Hama Oira. There's not an event that's happening on that day, specific to that day. It's a certain theme of Nechama. And then there is another thing which we don't do today, is if there's a private simcha in shul, if there's a private event that's taking place in the community, in your shul, it's proper, it's okay to read to select for the rabbanim of that community to select something from Nach particular to what's taking place in that specific community. For example, it used to be the minhag, we don't do this today, every ufruf they would lay in the haftarah from Parashas Netzavim, the psukim they're about to learn right now. Sois osis b'Hashem. Every single time there was an ufraf, there were different minhagim. Some minhagim where they would lay in the haftarah of the parasha. They were laying whatever that would say. Let's say it's Parshas Noach. You lay in Parshas Noach, and then you also lay in Sois Osis Pashem, because there's an Oifuf in this Shabbos here in this community. It appears that other places the minhag was only you would replace the Haftarah of the Parsha with only the psukim that we're about to read now from Parashas Nitzavim, we're about to read now, because these psukim here, to the end of the parak, discuss in chasan and kala. Let's see. Sois osis b'Hashem. This refers to the future. In the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Klal Yisrael says that we will rejoice b'Hashem. Togel nafshi, my soul will rejoice. B'Elokai, my God. Ki hil bishani big de yesha, he has dressed me in garments of salvation. Mi'il tzedaka yi'otani, he has wrapped me in the mi'il, in a garment of righteousness. Kechoson yichahein pe'er, just like a choson is glorified. Yichahein here is used to mean beautified. Lechanel, what does it mean in that context? To beautify me? To glorify me? To elevate me? It's in a borrowed term. A koyein is a person that is a dignified person. He is elevated. He is a person of stature. So a chasan ke chasan yichahein per, it's an expression which simply means, you take the three words together, just like a chasan is beautified, is elevated with splendor, he's dressed beautifully, he is elevated, v'chakala, and like a kala adorns herself in her jewelry. Cheleha here refers to her jewelry, and ta'adeh means an ornament. So the kala is beautified in her jewelry. That is what we're going to, that is how we're going to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make Klal Yisrael into a chosan and a kala. So obviously it's a very beautiful psukim that you would want to say by an ofruf, which indeed was the minuk, to say this for every single, maybe there are communities that do this still, I do not know. But this was something which was done. And that's to one point that is that it used to be that it was much more flexible what would be selected for the Haftarah at the Kach, when even this would be ready for the Haftarah. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Shalom finish preparing, and I'll go back on this Pasuk one moment. Ki Haaretz Toit Tzit Simcha, just like the earth produces Simcha, a sprout, Uche Gano Zeru Echa Tatzmiach, and a garden causes its seed to blossom. Cain likewise, Hashem Elokim Yatzmiach Tzedakah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause to blossom Tzedakah Usila, righteousness and praise, Neged among Klal Yisrael, Neged Kol HaGoyim, in front of all of the nations of the world. Now by the way, this pasuk is one of the pasuk that's called Masechet Klayim, that you're allowed to plant the configuration. I don't know the details, but the configuration of how many things you're allowed to have in the field, that it should not be kilayim. In this pasuk, there's reference to five different things. Toitzit simcha is one vegetable. Uchidana zeru eha is plural. Agana is a garden, is two. Zeru eha is plural, that's three and four. And satsmiach is five. So there's a reference to five different seeds. And five different seeds in the Gemara. Okay, I don't know details, but the Gemara uses this, that there's a possibility to plant five different seeds in a certain configuration, and it will not violate the laws of kilayim. And this pasuk is sort of as a source. This pasuk, because this pasuk, we find five different forms of vegetation. Tzimcha is number one. Number two is uchigano. Number three and four is zeru echa, because that's plural for seed. And satsmiach is five. And this pasuk tells that the Moshe Mashiach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will cause among Klal Yisrael us to blossom with tzedakah and tzila neged kol hagoyim. I want to go back to pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud is a very beautiful interpretation from Rav Shamshon Rifol Hirsch. Rav Schwab brings this down. If we take, we go back to pasuk about the chosn l'kala, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to dress us, the Moshe Mashiach, like a chosn l'kala, will be beautified, just like a chosn l'kala are at the peak of their beauty at the time of their chasna. So to Klal Yisrael will appear before the nation of the world like a chosan and a kala. And the way we describe the beauty of a chosan and kala is with two expressions, ke chosan yichahein pe'er, period, and for the kala, v'cha kala ta'adeh chelecha. Now these two expressions cannot be translated literally word for word, they're translated together. You take the three words, ke chosan yichahein pe'er, as we explained, like a chosan is beautified with glory. You look at the chosan, he's a beautiful person. He's dressed in a beautiful suit, nice tie, tuxedo, tails, he looks great. His hair is combed, and it looks like $1 million. Same thing for the kala. It's an expression. But if you try to translate the words literally, it doesn't really go. You really have to translate it backwards. There's the pe'er, you have to take the three words together. But Rav Shamshon Rifol Hirsch says, no, take the words and translate it literally. And the point he's trying to make is, who beautifies who? Is it that the suit and the jewelry of the kala beautify the kala, or is it that the fact that she is a kala, that's what gives beauty to the jewelry? Jewelry in and of itself, what is it? Just some metal cut in a certain way, some pearls, a ring. Does that really have meaning? It only has meaning because she's a kala. The ring has meaning. The diamond ring has meaning, has value, has beauty because she is a kala. If you take off the diamond ring, you put it in the vault, and she's not a kala, or it's in Tiffany's, just lying in the... It doesn't have the spark. It doesn't have the time. So you take the words, kechoson, it is the fact that this person is a groom, this is what yichahein per, is what gives beauty to, is what gives beauty to what he's wearing and what he is doing. It has a better ring by the kala. Vicha kala, the kala is what ta'adeh keleha. It's not that the keleha, her beautiful gown and her jewelry, makes her beautiful. No, the beautiful gown does nothing for her. Pumfa care. It's the keleha of the kala that gives beauty. It's the kala that gives beauty and meaning to the keleha. It's a very nice. It's very true. It's a very profound. Rav Schwab brings us down the name of Rav Shamshon Falhirsch. Rav Schwab, it's a very profound, especially the Chosin. It's not as good by the Chosin, but by the Kala, it's unbelievable. It's the Kala that beautifies the jewelry, not that the jewelry makes her beautiful. She's a Kala. That's what life is all about. The Simcha, Menela. The diamond ring has a meaning. The nail of the gown has a meaning. Not, go to the store, what a nice gown. You go past the store and call me, you see, so what? That's the gown worth. It's only the event.
Batilbash Esther Malchus.
Esther is what? Batilbash
Malchus. It's not the
clothing. She made the Malchus. Her Kedusha, her righteousness, is what gave the Malchus meaning. You see it all the time, even by the Goyim. Okay, President of the United States, all live through different leaders. Is it the office that gives kavod to the leader, or is it the leader that gives kavod to the office? So you all see that there are certain leaders, they're dignified people. They give kavod to the office. Mm-hmm. And then there are times where they're not so dignified. So they think, oh, I've come into the office. It's the person that gives dignity to his position. You see that by Rabbanim. You have certain shtelas, right? There's certain. And then when a Rav leaves, so it was such a glorified shtela, right? And then when the Rav leaves, someone else takes over. And there's no time. But what do you mean? But when this Rav was there, this was the place to be. It's because the person, the Rav, he was a chosh of a person. And the Mela, he gave dignity to the Makayim. Now, when there's someone else that's there that doesn't have that same degree of dignity, it's just not the same. It's the person that gives dignity, and it's hidden in these words here. I know I'm repeating myself 100 times. V'chakala ta'adech elecha. The principle is a powerful, powerful yisod. Okay, let's stop here.